This is Velo Hula, Muskegon, Michigan. DJ Pat, exotic dancer, promoter, club DJ, and, well, murderer. Details later. Strippers on the loose, Sterling at night.
Hi, I'm retired NYPD Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I tell the story of an eccentric car thief who carried around a hot slice of pizza in his pocket while he was out stealing cars. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
Hey, Happy New Year. As we go into 2023, let's take some time off from all this optimism and good cheer and savor the idiocy that is Florida. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. That's coming up on the best Florida stories of 2022.
This is Muskegon, Michigan's own Velo Hool. Ants leads to romance. People of Walmart later, Sterling at night.
Hi, it's Dan Gaffney.
And I'm Becky Gaffney.
Vacation time means...
it's time to sit on the couch for 4 days until your wife asks you to get outside and finish the fence.
It's only been 2 years. Coming up on Sterling on Sunday.
All right, it's 8 past the hour. Welcome to Sterling on Sunday. Walter M. Sterling. This is a national live radio show. That's right. There are no other live shows at this time. It's just you and me in the 18-wheeler, in the cab of your 4-wheeler. Welcome to Sterling on Sunday. You know what I did all week? I'll tell you, I had such an intense, busy week. Was I watching the Senate hearings? Was I watching the Speaker of the House hearings? No, absolutely not. Who cares? Who the heck cares about a bunch of crooks staring at each other trying to figure out who's going to donate more money to the other ones? I could care less. What did I do? I figured out how to get the check engine light to go off in my car. How do I get that to go off? No idea. No idea. Except every time I get near a mechanic to get the check engine light to go off, it's either $1,000 or the mechanic says to me, well, you know, it's just that your gas tank is loose. Your gas cap is loose. That's usually what it is, my friend. That is usually what it is. And my beautiful 17-year-old daughter was in a car wreck about 9 days ago. She was the passenger. Let me underline, she was the passenger. And last week I asked, what should I do? She doesn't want us to get involved. She doesn't want us to hire a lawyer. She doesn't want us to file suit. She doesn't want it. But her injuries were serious and profound. And I'm like, no, we're going to take legal action. That's what you do. That's the best way to protect your long-term interests. I will share with you the incredibly great advice that I got from you last week. Plus, I'll tell you what we did. That's coming up in just seconds on Sterling on Sunday. But I have to tell you this. There's a story right now that caught my attention, and I really wonder what you think, because I'm sitting here going, oh my gosh, you ready for this? There's a woman named Anna Walsh who lives in Cohasset, Massachusetts, and police are currently investigating Anna's disappearance while she was on her way to Washington, D.C. She had allegedly planned to catch a flight from Boston Logan Airport to Washington, D.C. for a work emergency on January 1st. January 1st, obviously New Year's Day, that was Sunday. She had a work emergency on January 1st. She was scheduled to get on a plane at 4 a.m., leave her husband and 3 little boys alone to go to her office in Washington, D.C. Whoa, what? And she worked for a big real estate firm, Tishman Spears or something. They have offices all over the world. They have offices in Boston. She could have worked out of Boston, but she was working out of Washington, D.C. She says to her husband, I have a work emergency. I have to get on a plane at 4 a.m. and go to Washington, D.C. She was scheduled to catch a ride share to Logan Airport, a ride share. Now, this is a wealthy woman. This is a woman of means. She could have taken, a private taxi, maybe even a limo, or she could have driven her car to Logan. But if you've ever driven to Logan, you know that's a bad idea. Just a terrible idea. Ride share makes sense. Taxi makes sense. No evidence as to whether or not she got in a ride share. Now, she was scheduled to take a plane. the police, the Cohasset police, all of the police involved, which by now must be many, are like, she didn't get on a plane. She never got on a plane. She has three young sons and a husband. Three young sons and a husband. And she had a work emergency, a real estate work emergency on New Year's Day. And then she disappears after she left the house to go to the airport. My hunch is there was a boyfriend involved, because obviously it makes no sense. She disappeared. And now everybody's going, well, wait a minute, the husband seems to be sketchy. Her husband is a guy who was probably involved in some art fraud. They lived in a house, then they had to move out of the house. They rented out their old house. And while this is going on, their old house catches on fire. And now, tonight, the police have made an arrest.
...for a real estate executive who vanished January 1st. A relative says they saw Anna Walsh as she was heading to Logan Airport in Boston to take a flight to DCA for a work emergency right here in D.C. But the 39-year-old mother never made it to the district. Tonight, D.C. police have searched the D.C. home and found nothing out of the ordinary. Our Rafael Sanchez-Cruz was at her Friendship Heights house where Walsh lived during the week, with more about this ongoing investigation.
Anna Walsh never made it to her home in Northwest D.C. last Sunday, according to Massachusetts authorities.
It's not normal that she's missing, so we automatically feel that she's in danger by the mere fact that she's missing.
A relative told Cohasset police that the 39-year-old was seen leaving her Massachusetts home around 4 a.m. on January 1st to take a rideshare to Logan Airport in Boston. She was presumably going to catch a flight to Reagan National Airport for a work emergency. Investigators say her husband was asleep when she left.
Anna's very active on Instagram, on her posts and stories, and I didn't see a picture from her trip.
3 days.
January 1st.
She leaves her house at 4 a.m. People see this. Who sees that? Who is looking out their window and seeing this? And she allegedly caught a rideshare, but there's no proof from any rideshare company that she caught a rideshare. And now they're arresting her husband and accusing him of giving bad information, false information about this. It's all sketchy. She could have easily decided, you know, I've had it with the husband. I've had it with the kids. I need time to myself. And met up with a boyfriend. Who has a work emergency at 4 a.m. on New Year's Day, needing to get on a plane from Boston to Reagan Airport? Not into Washington National, which is the correct answer, but to Reagan Airport? It's in the middle of a cornfield. You don't go there unless you're catching a flight to Beirut. That's the only reason you go to Reagan Airport. I just find it all bizarre. Do you have any theories? My number is 888-688-WALT, 888-688-9258. And then you and I, later tonight, are going to learn about scalar light. What? Scalar light. Well, there's this whole thing about scalar light. I've never heard anything about it. I've never heard anything like it. The man who uses scalar light is going to explain to us what it is. I think you want to hear this. Plus, remember that great story we were covering in Alaska? The DoorDash driver, who was ticketed and ticketed and ticketed six times for putting Christmas lights on his DoorDash car in a town called North Pole, Alaska. He was ticketed six times, and finally, last week, he went to court. And you and I will find out the result of him going to court coming up in just seconds. There's no other show like this, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Walter M. Sterling, and this is Sterling on Sunday. 1995. That is the special price for you, Sterling on Sunday listener. For two MyPillow pillows and two pillowcases of your choice. Let me repeat. Two MyPillow pillowcases and two MyPillow pillows for $19.98. You get two MyPillow pillows and two pillowcases of your choice for those beautiful pillows. They are filled with a patented filling. that does not lose its shape, stays cool all night, and to me, the best part is they're washable. If you have kids, you want them washable. There's nothing worse than trying to wash a normal pillow, right? Good luck. The MyPillow pillow has a 10-year warranty and a 90-day money-back guarantee. So there's no risk. You get two pillows, two pillowcases for $19.95. Two pillows, two pillowcases, $19.95. Make a phone call. You get to talk to a real human being, not some automated system. 800-844-0876. What was that again, Walter? 800-844-0876. Say my name, Walter. And the price drops to $19.95. $20 for two MyPillow pillows and two pillowcases of your choice. These have amazing designs, these pillowcases. Find out about them. It's time to get fresh pillows for the new year. Fresh pillows for the new year. Those pillows you got now, they stink. You had them in high school. Time to get rid of them. 800-844-0876. That's the phone number. Say my name, Walter. The price drops to $19.95 for two pillows and two pillowcases of your choice. 800-844-0876.
Sterling on Sunday.
New year. Time for a new career. Time to have your own business, which means freedom, flexibility. You get up when you want, go to bed when you want, and you get to tell your significant other you're finally doing something besides arguing about your boss. How sick do you think your significant other is about hearing about your boss? No more. Own your own business. Socialindoor.com. Socialindoor.com. Go to that website, socialindoor.com. Sign up. Get the information. This is a franchise opportunity which can only be made by a formal prospectus which you can get online. What is Social Indoor? You know what? I'm not going to tell you. Social Indoor is freedom. It's a franchise that gives you your own business. They set everything up. They show you how to make it work. This is a dream franchise, in my opinion. Go to socialindoor.com. Get the information. Socialindoor.com.
This is the news, traffic, and weather station, 98.1 KMBZ.
For breakfast, lunch, and dinner, Hatfield Pork brings flavor to the table the whole family will enjoy and keep you moving through the day. With over 24 distinct flavors that can be ready in minutes, it's food you can feel good about serving. Explore endless meal possibilities with Hatfield's variety of marinated pork, ground sausage, ham, and bacon. Find your flavor with Hatfield. Visit simplyhatfield.com for recipes and to find a retailer near you.
Welcome to a late night edition of What If, the show where I, Jake from State Farm, answer your insurance what ifs. We've got Sean on the line. What's up?
Hey, Jake, what if I'm too stressed about my coverage to sleep? Like, what if I don't have enough? Or what if I need to change it?
Oh, if you can't sleep, just give us a ring. We're available 24/7. At State Farm, we're there for your what ifs.
Oh, great. What if I just take a little nap?
Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Call or go to statefarm.com for a quote today.
KMBZ is always live on the Odyssey app.
On the Odyssey app.
Download the app today.
Not just a bunch of frumpy middle-aged people taking on the game of bowling like Earl Anthony. So the argument goes through. And Patrick Clark started a shoot. He's actually posted $1 million bond to get out of jail. Dice game. Bad. So this self-employed exotic dancer promoter, I wonder what the auditions are like. And self-styled club DJ is in Texas where this murder took place. They execute people in Texas. DJ Pat claims not to be a risk of flight after getting out on bond. DJ Pat also claims not to be a danger to society. He took out one-third of the Migos. Get back to exotic dancer promotion. Street cred with the rap community. He's going to be meeting some twerking babes. From the Champagne Room, this is Strippers on the Loose. I'm Vilo Hool for Sterling at Night.
Anna Walsh is a real estate executive for Tishman Speer. She lives in outside of Boston. Her office is in Washington, D.C. Sketchy right there. She has three handsome sons, and she has a good-looking husband who was involved in some questionable activities in art sales, possibly fraudulent art sales. All right, so that's a little scary. But the real scary thing is a woman who's the mother of three kids says, oh, my gosh, I have a work emergency. I have a work emergency on New Year's Day. She needs to get on a plane at 4 a.m. Yes, 4 a.m. to go to Reagan International Airport. That is a terrible airport to have to fly into because you're in the middle of a field. You're not near anything. The airport you want to go to is Washington National. I'm sure she could have gone to Washington National from Boston's Logan Airport. I'm sure that could have been worked out, especially at a time of day and a day of the week where there's nobody flying. I bet you she could have done it. She was supposed to take a ride share to Logan International Airport from her home. Neighbors say they saw her get in the car. What kind of neighbors are looking out the window at 3:30 a.m. to get to see if there's a ride share? There's no record of the ride share picking her up. And she didn't get on the plane. The Boston Cohasset police checked and checked. They could find no record of her getting on the plane. Therefore, they suspect foul play. And I hope she's all right. Now, the pictures of her that have run with all of these articles about her, these pictures, the phrase of online photography is these are thirsty pictures. These are thirsty pictures. And her relationship with her husband doesn't seem ideal, but she does have three kids. It's not likely or logical that she would disappear. Therefore, they suspect foul play. Well, who would the foul play be with? Who would it be? It would either be that the husband got jealous because maybe there's a boyfriend, or the boyfriend got jealous because maybe there's a husband.
Way for a real estate executive who vanished January 1st. A relative says they saw Anna Walsh as she was heading to Logan Airport in Boston to take a flight to DCA for a work emergency right here in D.C. But the 39-year-old mother never made it to the district. Tonight, D.C. police have searched the D.C. home and found nothing out of the ordinary. Our Rafael Sanchez-Cruz was at her Friendship Heights house where Walsh lived during the week with more about this ongoing investigation.
Anna Walsh never made it to her home in Northwest D.C. last Sunday, according to Massachusetts authorities.
It's not normal that she's missing, so we automatically feel that she's in danger by the mere fact that she's missing.
A relative told Cohasset police that the 39-year-old was seen leaving her Massachusetts home around 4 a.m. on January 1st to take a rideshare to Logan Airport in Boston. She was presumably going to catch a flight to Reagan National Airport for a work emergency. Investigators say her husband was asleep when she left.
Anna's very active on Instagram, on her posts and stories, and I didn't see a picture from her trip.
3 days after she was seen leaving her home with bags in hand, Walsh was reported missing.
We cannot confirm that she
He waited 3 days?
We can further, we have confirmed with the airlines, and that's been a challenge, that she did not board a plane this week.
Police say her phone has been off, and there has been no activity on her credit or debit cards.
Just a loving wife and mother to, she always says, three beautiful boys.
Yeah, three beautiful boys. But the boys are in Cohasset during the week, and she's in Washington, D.C. I find this all bizarre. My number is 888-688-WALT, 888-688-9258. We should ask Vic Ferrari, retired New York City police detective, what he thinks. I'll bet you he has theories. What are your theories? My number is 888-688-9258, 888-688-WALT. And now they've arrested the husband for allegedly withholding or giving misinformation. Whoa, this is going to be some story. Unbelievable. Coming up in seconds, you and I are going to find out what scalar light is. I don't know what it is, but when I saw it spelled out S-C-A-L-A-R and that people get treated with it, I want to know what scalar light is. Now, about that mess in Idaho, I have a theory about that mess in Idaho, about that alleged killer in Idaho who they arrested in Pennsylvania, who drove all the way across the country from the state of Washington. Who does that? Normal people don't do that. But here's my theory. I've never seen anybody say this or speculate on this. He was a criminology student in Washington State. And it turns out he was an excellent student working toward his PhD. And his teachers said that he was like the best student they ever had. And that ego. Now, the worst part of the story is that four innocent, vivacious, attractive young people were murdered. That's the worst part. But what if this is the motive? He's a criminology student, and he studied for years about crimes, mass murders, etc. And he must have looked at it one day and said, you know, they goofed doing, the murderer goofed doing this, the criminal goofed doing this, the criminal goofed doing, I know how to commit the perfect murder. I've studied it. I know how to commit the perfect murder. Just think about that. And then he said, I'm going to try. And in his mind, he set out to commit the perfect murder. That was his motivation. His motivation was his ego, to prove to all those people in the criminology world that you could commit the perfect murder. That's a possible motive. They're all looking, what was his motive? Did he know any of these people? Did he date any of these women? No, I don't think so. I think as a criminology major, his motive was to commit the perfect crime and then get in the car and drive like a bat out of hell and escape. But it seems that if he's the one who did it, he didn't exactly commit the perfect crime. What do you think? 888-688-9258, 888-688-WALT. What? You're taking phone calls? Yes, I'm live. This is what radio's supposed to be. It's not supposed to be a best of. Coming up, you and I are going to talk to an expert on scalar light. What the hell is scalar light? We'll find out in just seconds on Sterling on Sunday.
I'm retired NYPD Detective Vic Ferrari, and on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I tell the story of an eccentric car thief who carried around a hot slice of pizza in his pocket while he was out stealing cars. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
Hey, Happy New Year. As we go into 2023, let's take some time off from all this optimism and good cheer and savor the idiocy that is Florida. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. That's coming up on the best Florida stories of 2022.
This is Muskegon, Michigan's own Velo Hool. Ants leads to romance. People of Walmart later, Sterling at night.
Hi, it's Dan Gaffney.
And I'm Becky Gaffney.
Vacation time means...
it's time to sit on the couch for 4 days until your wife asks you to get outside and finish the fence.
It's only been 2 years. Coming up on Sterling on Sunday.
All right, that sounded fantastic, Sean. Nice work. Tom Palladino. Tom Palladino is going to answer some mysteries that have puzzled me now for several weeks since I first heard about him. Welcome to Sterling on Sunday, Tom Palladino. Hi.
Good evening. Hello.
What are you doing? Why didn't you answer right away? What are you doing? You're looking around? What's going on with you? What's going on with you? This is a live network radio show. It's not some stupid podcast like you're used to. This is an actual radio show. How does it feel?
It feels great. Good evening to you. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. I saw this article about you, Tom Palladino, about scalar light. Scalar light. And I kept rummaging around for somebody to tell me, what the hell is it? And I never got a straight answer. Therefore, we're coming directly to you, Tom Palladino. What is scalar light?
It's zero-point energy. Some people might call that Tesla energy. I'm working with an energy spectrum that is not electromagnetic in character. There's two energies, and I'm working with that other energy spectrum. It offers great promise to mankind. It's quite versatile.
How does scalar light help people, Tom?
Well, I've developed a technique. I have scalar energy instruments, and with these instruments, I'm able to manipulate microbes, pathogens, It's an instrument that allows me to, frankly, disassemble, to negate molecular bonds on viruses, bacteria, fungi, etc. So, if you will, with this type of energy, you can control a molecular bond. And what I've discovered with my instrument, and I've perfected the technique, I can negate molecular bonds, once again, of microbes, pathogens. I think that offers mankind great promise.
I have no idea what you just said. Therefore, you will have to explain exactly what it does. And we're talking about like nuclear plant size equipment. What size equipment it is? It isn't like Scientology, is it? It isn't like that strange thing they've got.
No. These are scientific instruments. They're engineered to be able to control what I consider to be a double helix or the waveform of scalar energy. So we're not working again with the movement of electrons or what some people call AC electricity. It's a different energy spectrum. This energy spectrum allows us to actually break apart physical matter. How about that? If I describe it in that term, scalar energy allows me to break apart physical matter. And one of the, if you will, matter that I can break apart is, again, a microbe, a pathogen. So this is the easy way to break apart, to disassemble a germ.
Oh, now, if you're going to a bigger scale than a germ, could it break apart a brick?
I think with a sufficient power. I've never been able to amplify the energy like that, but I go on record by stating that scalar energy is the energy that holds together matter. And if that's the case, that this energy is responsible for all physical forms. Now, my research simply reflects the ability to work with and break down, again, a microbe.
All right. This is Tom Palladino. He works with scalar energy, and he says that scalar energy can break down germs, microbes in our body. Can it do it in our body and not harm us?
I've been able to demonstrate that, yes, with people, and I have to rely upon the results that people speak of. And thus far, the results are rather promising. If I can make a correlation in that regard, yes. And not only people, but animals. And the reason I say that, and I'm quite staunch on that, is that the testimonies from people are just astounding. And this is across the board, people from all walks of life. So,
all right, so Tom, you're saying that this could break down cancers, break down...
Not cancer. Microorganisms. Yes.
Microorganisms. All right. I want to find out specifically what in the human body it can break down to help cure somebody of a disease or an ailment or an infection. I want to find that out in just seconds because, you see, I grew up with a dad who worked at Bell Telephone Laboratories. Mm. And I went to Bell Labs many times when I was a kid. And I saw people doing wacky things with light that later became real. And I look forward to talking with you, Tom Palladino, about scalar light. And if you have a question for Tom, here's our number. It's 888-688-WALT, 888-688-9258, 888-688-9258. More with Tom Palladino on the toll-free number in seconds. This is Sterling on Sunday.
It should titillate your audience because this is free energy. This energy is from the sun and the stars. And what these men, my predecessors, have achieved is to capture that free energy from the stars.
Well, the great thing about people who listen to Sterling on Sunday is we all believe in the work of Nikola Tesla. We're all absolutely certain he was right. We're certain he was screwed like nobody ever in history. And it's because the man had no idea how to market what he had. He just knew how to invent it. And then he gave his patents to Westinghouse for $800, and it was a tragic story.
Yes.
I also happen to believe that when he was housed in the New Yorker Hotel in New York City,
for
his last 5 years, I believe he was put there by the federal government because that hotel had the largest AC power plant in America in its basement, and it powered his invention. It powered his work. Now, Tom Palladino, please tell us what scalar light can do. Please tell us what it's useful for.
Okay. Scalar energy is able, amongst many things, to control matter. Now, if there's something that is unfavorable, dangerous, harmful, say a toxin or a pathogen, my instruments can identify that toxin and pathogen and break it apart, transmute it, break down the molecular bonds. Now, we do this easily, readily with these instruments, and it's rather quick. The entire process is rather quick. So what am I saying? I have an instrument that can manipulate physical matter.
How long have you been doing this?
This has been my life. It's a good 45, 50 years of research.
Now, Tom, you've got it to the point now where scalar light is manageable, directable, and it works. How are you going to make any money with this, Tom?
Well, I have the same dilemma as Tesla. I'm not a marketing man. I'm a researcher. And I'm simply trying to introduce this to the world. I have a website, and people can visit the website, and perhaps they might take an interest in becoming a paying client. But it's a long road. And the reason I say that is because it's so hard for people to grasp that there's two energies, that I'm working with a different energy spectrum, and then to see its application. So the answer to your question is, it's not a moneymaker.
All right, if you have a question for Tom Palladino about scalar light, here's your toll-free number. It's 888-688-9258, 888-688-9258, 888-688-WALT. I don't want you to be specific, Tom, because that's a dangerous way to go. Do you believe that this can help eradicate disease, that it can help cure infections, that it can manage, that it can eradicate germs?
Yes, I do. I do. And the reason I say that, I've worked with myself, and I've had germs. I've had, say, viruses. And after I work with myself, I no longer have those viruses present in me. So I've seen this working with myself. Now, I can't speak for other people, but I can speak for myself. And my predecessor had that same experience. So, yes, it's a repeatable function. Yes, this does indeed work.
Now, Tom Palladino, when you take scalar light to hardcore doctors, what's the response?
I don't. And the reason being, I don't think they're ready for this, and it's so avant-garde what I'm doing, that it hasn't been accepted yet. Now, I want to make something very clear. You mentioned that you saw some rather peculiar events in the laboratory, at Bell Laboratory. I've seen those peculiar events, that peculiar behavior with the scalar energy instrument. Now, when I'm working with these instruments, I work by identifying a person by way of a photograph. Now, what do I mean by that? A scalar energy instrument allows me to work with anybody in the world by way of a photograph. The instrument acts in the capacity as that of a satellite or identification.
You started a sentence. You didn't finish it. You have to end that paragraph. Please finish that paragraph.
Okay. So working with this instrument, I can identify a virus, a bacterium, on a person's photograph. A photograph is a force field. It's an energy field. And this is what Tesla discovered, that this energy permeates the universe and that there is no distance. So if I work with a photograph of a person, that photograph captures its energy. It captures, if you will, a signature of a person. This is the new science of scalar energy, in which we can work with people around the world through their photograph.
So, Tom, you believe in auras, human auras.
Yes, yes.
And you
That's
believe,
what I'm tapping into, exactly.
And you believe that different people have different color auras that suggest personality traits or good and evil in them.
Yes, correct. Yes.
Then I'm proud to tell you that an autistic child who was gifted at that, the autistic child would sit in a person's lap, make his hands into the shape of a pyramid, look at the person's forehead, and announce their color. He did that from the age of 5. I'm happy to tell you, Tom, that when that child sat in my lap, formed the pyramid, looked at the energy coming out of my head, it was white. And his father said, His father looked and said, "It's never white, Walter. He says it's white." And I'm thinking, well, sure, of course. I appreciate, Tom. Now, the important thing you mentioned is that you have a website. Would you please tell us slowly the address of your website? Slowly.
I'll pronounce it scalarlight.com. scalarlight.com.
Say it two more times.
Yeah. Scalarlight.com. scalarlight.com. On our website, we offer anybody 15 days of free Scalar Light sessions. We do that because we want to convince the world that this works. We want to convince the world that working through your photograph, we can make a connection to your aura.
I believe that. My question here is, there are way too many ways to misinterpret a photograph, even by your machine. There are too many, you know, there are filters, different angles. How can it nail a photograph to a person?
Yes. Well, when you're working with light, light never makes a mistake. So my scalar light instrument, working through a person's photograph, recognizes that person, recognizes their aura, and then sends what I would consider the necessary energy to eradicate a pathogen or to balance the aura, to balance their seven chakras.
Tom Palladino, do you share my opinion that one of the greatest scams in the history of America has been the, quote, information about COVID?
There have been too many mistakes with the COVID virus. And it's a shame that so many people have had to suffer from what I would call the mismanagement of this pandemic.
Because, you see, I had it 3 months ago. I had COVID 3 months ago. And it was a sniffle and a cough and a cold, but I tested positive, and 3 months later, I suffer the aftermath of it. I can't taste normally. Everything I taste tastes like garbage. Some people say, well, I lost my taste. I wish I had lost my taste. Everything I taste tastes like garbage. And you know what, Tom Palladino? God bless it. I have lost 30 pounds. That wasn't my plan, but I can't eat anything sweet. I can't eat bread. I can't eat anything that a diabetic shouldn't eat. Tom Palladino, give us your website once more.
Scalarlight.com. We offer anybody in the world 15 days of free session. Why don't you try the free session and report to me if it helps you?
Tom Palladino, thank you very much for being on Sterling on Sunday. Sterling on Sunday. I have an email. Every email I get gets answered. It's waltermsterling@gmail.com, waltermsterling@gmail.com. And attention radio people, right now, I'm using an RCA 77, which has got to be as good as a scalar light. That's right, an RCA 77. Oh, every chief engineer listening sat up straight. He's got an RCA 77 on the air. It took me months to make it work. It took me holy water from the Catholic Church to make it work. There's been nothing harder than to make an RCA 77 microphone work. It's the microphone that, like, you used to see Johnny Carson with, because, you know, broadcasters envy and love it. And Alan Shaw, the vice chairman of Beasley Broadcasting, was kind enough to share it with me and give it to me as a gift. Well, this is a pretty exciting show. Coming up, we're going to find out what happened to the case at the North Pole to the driver who decorated his car with lights, Christmas lights, oh my God, and got 6 citations. Sterling on Sunday.
Hi, I'm retired NYPD Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I tell the story of an eccentric car thief who carried around a hot slice of pizza in his pocket while he was out stealing cars. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
Hey, Happy New Year. As we go into 2023, let's take some time off from all this optimism and good cheer and savor the idiocy that is Florida. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. That's coming up on the best Florida stories of 2022.
This is Muskegon, Michigan's own Velo Hool. Ants leads to romance. People of Walmart later, Sterling at night.
Hi, it's Dan Gaffney.
And I'm Becky Gaffney.
Vacation time means
It's time to sit on the couch for 4 days until your wife asks you to get outside and finish the fence.
It's only been 2 years. Coming up on Sterling on Sunday.
8 minutes past the hour. Walter M. Sterling, live national. How are you? KDKA, welcome. Welcome to KFBK in Sacramento. This is Sterling on Sunday, and I'm so grateful for the great KMBZ in Kansas City. FM, KMBZ, FM in Kansas City. Love that radio station. What a great radio station. Now, Keith Fons is in Fairbanks, Alaska, in a town called North Pole. There's actually a town in Alaska called North Pole. And every year, a delivery driver named Keith Fons takes his car and decorates it with Christmas lights because it's at the North Pole and it's Christmas time and it's festive. He does that, never a problem. This year he does it, he gets six citations, and found himself in court right before New Year's Day. Now, Keith Fons has given us updates on this horrible, horrible criminal case. Keith Fons, what happened when you went to court?
So I ended up showing up to court, and five out of the six citations were all written by the same officer, Adams. The judge asked if he was in the courtroom. His superior tried to stand in for him, and the judge threw it down and said because the officer wasn't in the courtroom and for some reason mysteriously no longer works for the police department, he threw those five tickets out. So that left one ticket, and the other officer did show up to court. So the judge pulled us both up front of the courtroom, and let me go ahead and get the quote from the judge correct because he did an excellent job. He said, quote unquote, even though it may be a gray line with the law, there should be some holiday spirit, and if that's your intentions, you shouldn't be fined. You shouldn't get in trouble for spreading joy in Christmastown. So the judge then proceeded to technically find me guilty because it is a gray line of the law, but he reduced my citation amount down to a whole dollar.
There you go. Now that's a good judge, Keith Fons. I hope you never have to go through this again. That's just incredible. And by the way, if you ever get tickets, my friend, if you ever get traffic tickets, the best thing that can happen to you is for you to go to court and the issuing police officer does not show up. You win instantly. Happens every time. Because this isn't how it's supposed to work. They're supposed to take responsibility for the tickets they write, show up, explain themselves, and argue. And that's what they're supposed to do. Keith Fons, I couldn't be happier for you. Now, I have to talk to you about a Fairbanks citizen who did not have things go so well. Do you know this story about Patrick Holland? Patrick Holland, last week, a few days before Christmas, Fairbanks resident Patrick Holland experienced a horrible night of flight cancellations due to poor weather in Seattle that ultimately caused him to miss out on a perfect match for a heart transplant that he needed. This week, in response to a story about the ordeal Holland went through, Dozens of people reached out to offer the 57-year-old a temporary place to stay in Seattle while he waits for the next match to become available. Holland and his wife shared the good news in an update posted on Thursday, Big Heart, which the couple created to share Holland's journey to health with friends. Now, these flight cancellations and these flight delays, imagine you've waited for months, maybe years, for a match for your heart to get a heart transplant. This isn't like going to the hardware store to get a new screw and bolt. To get a matching heart is a difficult thing. To get it fast enough so it can be put in you, especially if you live in Fairbanks, Alaska, is a great challenge. And these crooked, crummy airlines, their cancellations, their slow unions, their work slowdowns, almost cost this man his life. Do you know about the story in Fairbanks?
Yeah, we've been hearing about it locally, and it's sad. And, you know, that's the problem with Alaska, is we are cut off from a lot of things that people take for granted down in the lower 48. Like, for instance, my wife goes to the cancer center here and gets treatment every 28 days. But if she needs to see a specialist for her condition, she has to fly to Seattle in order to see a specialty doctor, because we don't have those here. And with the airlines and the way that they control it, it's kind of like a monopoly. You're at the mercy of the airline and the weather at the same time. And when you live in Alaska in the middle of winter, the weather can change. If you don't like the weather, wait 5 minutes, it'll change.
Yeah,
so yeah, it is sad that somebody has to go through that. And there should be other channels. There should be other opportunities, you know, like Raven Air we have here. They do some medical transport, and they could have stepped in and gotten a small jet to get him where he needed to get to, and without all this delay and confusion and the possibility that he could have lost his life while he was waiting.
And Keith Bond's driver in Fairbanks, Alaska, this is a horrendous story, and it's surprising that Patrick Holland, thank God, did not lose his life. But you mentioned that wait a few minutes and the weather will change. Well, the difference between the weather changing in, say, Chicago or Cleveland or Detroit and Fairbanks is that when your weather changes, it's catastrophic. Each weather change is catastrophic. I mean, it's you have deadly weather changes as opposed to inconvenience. Hey, Keith, you are a fantastic listener. You're a great friend, and you know what? You're a damn good reporter. Therefore, Keith, there's something I need from you. I found out about this story because every week in preparing for Sterling on Sunday, I look up and read an Alaska newspaper. I always read a Fairbanks, Alaska newspaper because the stories are fascinating in America. Also, by the way, I always read a Siberia newspaper, which are even more bizarre. Therefore, Keith, whenever you see a story that catches your eye, that the people you drive around are talking to you about, I'd like you to call in, and I will put you right on the air as our senior Alaska reporter. Will you do that for me, Keith?
Every Sunday for you.
You got it. Thanks so much for listening and being on Sterling on Sunday. It's 15 minutes past the hour, 15 minutes past the hour. I'm Walter M. Sterling. And coming up, you and I are going to talk about the failure of MBA and about the genius of founding CEOs, leaders that you and I can follow and help pattern our career. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Hey, Walter. On this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I'd like to tell a couple of interesting arrest stories. People often ask, you know, what's the dumbest thing a criminal ever said to you, or what's the silliest thing a criminal has ever done? And criminals, for the most part, are fairly intelligent. It's what they do that gets them in the jackpot. So the many people I met during the course of my career, they had an odd way of looking at things that defied logic. So one winter afternoon, I was processing an arrest out in the 61st Precinct out in Coney Island when I had an interesting conversation with a prisoner from inside the jail cell. The Russian immigrant was profusely protesting his arrest. What did I do? Officer, you're not going to believe this, he said. I said, listen, talk to your arresting officer. I have nothing to do with you. He says, no, please listen. You will see my point of view. I said, all right, try me. He says, over a month ago, I stole a piece of salmon from a fish stand on Neptune Avenue. So considering he admitted to me stealing the fish, I couldn't understand his outrage. I said, so, what's your point? This was over a month ago. Now they arrest me? Don't the police have better things to do? He asked, sounding perplexed. I said, how do they treat you in Russia when you get arrested? Oh, very bad. It's much nicer to get arrested in America. That day I learned never to debate the United States criminal justice system with a former guest of the Gulag. The other interesting story I have about an arrest that was outrageous is, it's the early 90s. My partner and I are driving around in plain clothes in the Riverdale section of the Bronx. And it's our job to, you know, pick off crimes before they occur. So we're watching this guy walk around Riverdale, and he's trying door handles of cars. He's looking in car windows. So we know it's only a matter of time before this guy breaks into a car. So we're watching him for about an hour. It's really cold out. We're like, when is this guy going to finally do something? Sure enough, He goes up to a car. He gets a screwdriver. He starts working on the door lock. He gets into the car. My partner and I roll up, jump out of the car. He sees us. He tries locking the door. We pull him out of the car. After a brief struggle, I put the handcuffs on the guy, right? So we put him against the hood of the car, and it's cold. And I said, you got anything in your pockets or anything that's going to stick me or, you know, hurt me? He goes, no. I said, all right. I stick my hand in his pocket, and I immediately feel a burning sensation on my hand. I go, what the hell is that? I pull my hand out, and there's hot cheese on my fingers. He says, what the hell? I stick my hand back in his pocket, and I pull out a hot slice of pizza. While we were following him around, he ducked into a pizza parlor, bought a slice of pizza, saw a car he wanted to steal, so he stuck the hot slice in his pocket, and then when my partner and I were searching him, I burned my hand on a hot slice of Sicilian. So you can't make this stuff up. So be sure to check out my new book, Grand Theft Auto, the NYPD's Auto Crime Division.
After a Hardee's drive-thru, we pull around the back and we're just about going through. We pull through the drive-thru, they take the order. We pull up and she says, pull ahead, you know, because they had to make the order. The order wasn't done. We pull ahead and a car comes perpendicular and parks like a little ways in front of us. And I've been around the block, and I said to my buddy, I said, that's either a bad guy or it's FBI. I said that straight up.
Straight up. Mike Lindell, Solving Crimes. 24 past the hour, Walter M. Sterling. One of the hardest things to deal with in life is when somebody steals your idea. Somebody steals your idea and doesn't give you credit for it. This has happened to me on a number of occasions, but not that often. But they usually wait for something huge. For example, I was consulting a company, and I made two big deals. I mean, big deals. Deals that would change the nature, texture of the company. One in London, one here. And I was really proud of them, and they were going to contract. And all of a sudden, my touch person, my contact at the company, superseded me, called both of my contacts at both of those companies, and killed the deal. Told them, no, I don't know what the hell he told them, but he killed the deal. That was a bad day, because I found out about it from the people I was making the deal with, not anybody in the company. And this was a bad guy, and he's still a bad guy. A month later, he calls them and reinitiates the deal, makes the deal. Why did he do that? So that the press release would go out with his name, that he made this deal. Imagine that. And then I'm at some banquet about 2 years ago, and there's Dr. Ruth Westheimer receiving an award she deserved. An incredible award that she deserved. And I was really happy for her. But I was the one who put Dr. Ruth Westheimer on the air on her first job at WYMY-FM in New York. And this guy, some schlubby accountant, somehow or another weasels his way into a relationship with her, gets up there, introduces her, and kind of mentions in passing that she was on the air already when he got the job, but didn't say, thanks to Walter Sterling. Thanks to Mitch Lebby. Thanks to Betty Elin. Thanks to Dan Griffin, who put her on the air. Not a peep. Swept away, stole the credit, and that hurts. Now imagine if you're Major Armstrong. Imagine if you're Major Armstrong and this happened.
Sarnoff could not accept FM radio stations competing with his existing AM radio station empire. So Sarnoff lobbied the U.S. Congress to move the existing FM band to a higher frequency. Consequently, the FCC moved the AM band, putting Armstrong's FM network out of business. This started a legal battle between Armstrong and Sarnoff that lasted for years. The emotional strain of this caused Armstrong to commit suicide in 1954.
Imagine you're Major Armstrong. You have, in fact, invented FM. because you were told to invent FM to get rid of the static on AM. He starts a company that manufactures FM radios and has control of this FM band. Sarnoff goes, I don't want that. But because Sarnoff had made radar for the U.S. government during World War II, they listened to Sarnoff. They owed Sarnoff. He said, I don't want that FM band. You will figure out how to get rid of it. And he convinced the FCC to move the FM band. That's right, to move it to where it is today, 88 to 107, to move it. It didn't used to be there. Before 1948, it was not at 88 to 107 on your FM dial. It was a different part of the microwave spectrum. He got it moved. Well, the minute he got it moved, all of Major Armstrong's radios, transmitters, were useless. They were useless. You think you have a tough competitor selling hot dogs across the street? Imagine someone so powerful, he could just get the whole marketplace moved to favor his company. That's what David Sarnoff did. That's some competitor. Talk about stealing credit. He stole a chunk of the microwave spectrum to get FM moved to where he wanted it and put Major Armstrong out of business, causing Major Armstrong so much stress that he killed himself. Unbelievable. All right, you and I are going to talk about great heads of American industry, people who started industries, and some of the things they did and some of the things you and I can learn from, starting with Herb Kelleher, who is the founder of Southwest Airlines and a gifted born leader. And you know what? Ever since he left, ever since the MBAs got in charge, oh my gosh, airports are canceling flights. Thousands of flights of Southwest Airlines were canceled. And I promise you that if Herb Kelleher was still the CEO of Southwest Airlines, that would not have happened. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Hey, Happy New Year. As we go into 2023, let's take some time off from all this optimism and good cheer and savor the idiocy that is Florida. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. That's coming up on the best Florida stories of 2022.
This is Muskegon, Michigan's own Velo Hool. Ants leads to romance. People of Walmart later, Sterling at night.
Hi, it's Dan Gaffney.
And I'm Becky Gaffney.
Vacation time means...
it's time to sit on the couch for 4 days until your wife asks you to get outside and finish the fence.
It's only been 2 years. Coming up on Sterling on Sunday.
All right, so Herb Kelleher was the founding CEO of Southwest Airlines. And when he was running Southwest Airlines, there would not have been thousands and thousands of flights canceled because he would have worked out the systems and the procedures for dealing with that. That's why when he was the CEO of Southwest Airlines, there weren't thousands and thousands of flights canceled. But you see, after he retired, he was a character. Now, what were his educational qualifications for being the CEO of Southwest Airlines? What were his qualifications? He was an English major and a philosophy minor. He was an English major. He studied humanities because he was managing a company filled with humanities, and his customers were humanities. And this is how he ran his company.
But as your company gets bigger, I think you want to have a cluster of people that you really encourage and stimulate to continue to be entrepreneurial and innovative in their thinking. And one of the ways that you do that, by the way, is never scorning an idea. Because when you scorn an idea, you ensure that you'll never get another one from that person. And we try to show the respect that we have for anybody's ideas. Our rule is that you get an answer in a week. If you and get in touch with anybody, Gary Kelly, me, Colleen Barrett, doesn't make any difference. You get an answer back in a week because we want you to know that we respect you as a person and we respect your thought process, and we want you to come back with additional ideas. And the other thing is, we never just say no. You know, no is an exercise of power. I have the power to say no, and I've just done it, and we're not doing anything about it. We send lengthy explanations to our employees about the testing that we've done and why we're not adopting this idea and how it was tried at some other carrier and proved to be a disaster. So it's always a reasoned turn down, rather than just an arbitrary, peremptory turned down.
Herb Kelleher, the founding CEO of Southwest Airlines. And that's why it was so successful. Also, he didn't use that stupid hub and spoke system. He didn't have a hub system where everybody flew into Dallas or Houston or New York. No, no. It was set up so that if you're going from Kansas City to Dallas, that's all that plane did. It didn't go to some central point, get slowed down. To this day, the dumbest system airlines have ever come up with. And we were talking about the horrible experience of having your ideas stolen. And one of the challenges of working at a big company, especially, or having a bad partner, an evil partner, is that your ideas can get stolen. It's interesting to me that Steve Jobs was one of the people who probably stole the most ideas of anybody.
When the mouse was first patented by engineer Douglas Engelbart in 1967 and was described as an XY position indicator for a display system, it was then further developed at Xerox. When Steve Jobs visited Xerox's Palo Alto Research Center in the late 1970s, he was amazed by what he saw, a demonstration of a new computer mouse. So Jobs effectively invented the first modern computer mouse and first modern personal computer in the mid-1970s by stealing it from Xerox. Now, stealing is an overstatement. Xerox was compensated with a pre-IPO Apple stock deal. This was a fraction of the actual value for getting the mouse icon, GUI, and network technology. The bean counter management at Xerox did not see the value of things that were not directly copier related. Apple released the Macintosh on January 24, 1984. It was the first personal computer in the world to use a mouse icon graphical user interface. A year later, Bill Gates stole the mouse for the Windows operating system.
You hear what he said? He said the bean counters at Xerox. The bean counters didn't see the direct application for copiers. And that's what happens to all new ideas, or good ideas, when they're handed over to the MBAs, the accountants with spreadsheets. You hand over stuff to people with spreadsheets, and they will prove mathematically why something is a risk. It's a risk and a bad idea. But here's the deal. All new ideas are risks. You can throw all the formulas you want at an idea, and it will never prove that it will work. There was a movie company whose name I really don't remember. It was founded about 18, 20 years ago. And the CEO of this movie company came up with a formula that he said, here is the formula for a hit movie. No, I'm not kidding you. He came up with a formula for hit movies. And because he had math and spreadsheets, he was able to draw hundreds of millions of dollars to fund his company from other people who had math and spreadsheets. Oh my gosh, they have finally eliminated the risk of releasing movies. This is a great thing. And son of a gun. He released a couple movies that worked, and then many, many, many that did not work because he was using math against something that was emotional and emotive. And in fact, art. A great movie, as you know, is art. And I'm not kidding you. This guy presented to the banking world, I have this magic formula for making hit movies. And of course, there is no magic formula for making hit movies. It is mostly in a person's gut, in what they can see and feel. And you put it against a very logical, rational person. You could show them spreadsheets, but more often than not, logical and rational people are not going to make hit movies because it's about emotions. And there's nothing more terrifying to an MBA or somebody with spreadsheets and formulas for success than showing them something that's emotional. Terrifying. That has been my experience. Oh my gosh, is that my experience? Coming up, we're going to hear some of the things that the people who were mostly emotion and what they did to build the great entertainment companies that you and I know. But before that, I have to share with you the fact that last week you were so helpful to me. you were so helpful to me in helping me deal with my 17-year-old daughter who was in a nasty car wreck. She was in a nasty car wreck as a passenger, but she had lacerations on her leg. She has a concussion. She is limping, and the emotional trauma was severe. She's going to be in therapy for this for a long time. And she didn't want us to take any legal action. She just wanted it to go away and forget about it. And I don't blame her. That's one way of dealing with something this traumatic. However, as you kept pointing out, these injuries of hers could last for years. They could resurface 5 years from now, 10 years from now. And unless they're taken care of properly now, unless she gets the therapy she needs, the physical and emotional therapy she needs, this could have lasting impact. And every single caller, every one of you said, get a lawyer, get a lawyer, get a lawyer. And we did. We got the right lawyer. I did the homework. I got the right lawyer. We have tremendous confidence in the lawyer. And the appropriate legal action will be taken against the driver's insurance company. And I thank you. Thank you very much for spending the time to pick up the phone and call. The follow-up emails, hello, Karen with the cats. The follow-up emails have been incredibly helpful and comforting. And the prayers that you have sent for my beautiful daughter, my magnificent daughter, who, oh, by the way, is a ballerina of note. And in this injury, I mean, she's going to sit on the side of that dance floor for a long time just watching. And that breaks my heart. That breaks my heart. My beautiful ballerina daughter has been injured in a car wreck that she had nothing to do with. Nothing. I'm Walter M. Sterling. Welcome to Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday. Inspired by SpongeBob.
Welcome to the club! Welcome to the club! Welcome to the
club! Hey, Happy New Year! As we go into 2023, let's take some time off from all this optimism and good cheer and savor the idiocy that is Florida. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. That's coming up on the best Florida stories of 2022.
This is Muskegon, Michigan's own Velo Hool. Ants leads to romance. People of Walmart later, Sterling at night.
Hi, it's Dan Gaffney.
And I'm Becky Gaffney.
Vacation time means...
it's time to sit on the couch for 4 days until your wife asks you to get outside and finish the fence.
It's only been 2 years. Coming up on Sterling on Sunday.
All right. I worked at ABC when the founder of ABC, Leonard Goldenson, was still the chairman. Now, Leonard Goldenson was a theater owner and a showman. Leonard may not have known how to put on the show, but he knew when the show was good or bad. He had great instincts, but he did something that I sat back and went, whoa. ABC used to make theatrical movies. They used to put out theatrical movies. And he had to leave a conference early. I was at a conference that he was at, and he had to leave it early because one of his feature films was being released that day. And he left the conference early. He said, I'm going to go to Scarsdale, no, it wasn't Scarsdale. He was going to go to Westchester County, some theater in Westchester County, and stand outside the theater, wait for the crowd to get out of the theater that had just seen his movie, and ask them what they thought. The chairman of ABC was going to stand outside a theater and ask the people who came out what they thought of his movie. That is a showman. That is a great showman. I can't imagine any one of these CEOs with MBAs running these entertainment companies today standing outside a theater and asking customers what they thought. This is what Fred Silverman had to say about Leonard Goldenson, two great showmen.
He said, when I sold out to Paramount, and I have a lot of cash.
No. This is Leonard Goldenson himself telling us about the best advice he ever got.
He said, when I sold out to Paramount, and I had a lot of cash, I put it in Coca-Cola. And I felt with as a stockholder, as big as I was, I should be on the board of directors. So I got in touch with them, and they invited me over to the board to make my case. And he said, I got over there. He said, I was just doing fine. But he said, there was one man on that board that was antagonistic to me. And when I presented my case, I could tell he was going to vote against me. And I finally got mad, threw my papers down on the table, and I walked out and slammed the door. He said, let me tell you, young man, slamming the door can cost me millions. And if you're negotiating deals, don't slam the door. Best advice a person could ever get.
Leonard Goldenson, the founding chairman of ABC. That's the advice he took. Don't slam the door. He didn't take the advice of, well, you know, there's a new algorithm that can predict our success, Leonard. No, there was none of that. And something else he used to do that was so amazing to me. He was a painter. His hobby was painting. And once a year, he used to have a beautiful book made, beautiful color plate book of his paintings. And he wrote an essay about what each of the paintings meant to him. And he shared that with every employee of the company. And that way we could see into the emotions and the heart of the chairman of the board of the company. And it gave us permission to have emotions and hearts. Because you see, whenever Leonard listened to one of his radio stations or watched one of his TV stations, he knew if it was a good show or not. He was a showman. The reason Lee Iacocca was so successful as the chairman of Chrysler is Lee Iacocca loved cars. He loved cars. He loved the way they smelled. He loved watching them come off the assembly line. He loved watching them be designed. He loved cars. Leonard Goldenson, first chairman of ABC, loved shows. He understood what it meant to make a great show. That's who he was. And the fact that he stood outside a movie theater that was showing one of his feature films the first night to find out, you know, what do you think of my movie? How do you feel about my movie? It was an incredible experience. Now, he had one open door policy, Leonard Goldenson, one open door policy. If you were an executive vice president or a vice president or the head of sales, you had to make an appointment to see Mr. Goldenson. If you were on the air, you could walk up to his office suite and walk into his office and sit and talk to Jim Kerr, the morning man at WPLJ in New York, used to go walk into Leonard Goldenson's office and sit and chat pretty regularly to the annoyance of his bosses. But Leonard loved to talk to the people on the air because he knew that was his business. He knew that was his business, not the MBAs, not the business managers, not the sales managers. He knew his business was who was on the air, the people who made the show. And his respect as the chairman of ABC, his respect for the people on the air was profound. He loved the people on the air, and he always made time to talk to them. That's why ABC in the 70s got to the point of being the number one network, because he knew what a good show was, and he hired the best showman in the business. He hired Fred Silverman, and you and I will listen to what Mr. Silverman had to say about Bill Paley coming up in just a second. Again, thank you very much for your incredibly great advice about my daughter. She was in an accident. She was 17. She was traumatized. She was injured. And you gave me the best advice about what to do. And the bottom line of the advice was, be the father. She's a minor. You be the father. You decide what's right for her. And I did. And we engaged a great lawyer who's going to represent her properly and make sure that she's taken care of properly. My email is waltermsterling@gmail. waltermsterling@gmail. And I answer every single email I get. And I thank you so much for being my friend. This is Sterling on Sunday.
For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. This is the best Florida stories of 2022.
Thank you.
Thank you. Welcome to Florida Stories. Welcome to Florida Stories. Oh, good crowd. Love you too. All right. First Florida story, we're going to Chuck E. Cheese, a little town called Brandon. It's in the Tampa, St. Petersburg area. And you always loved Chuck E. Cheese when you were a kid, but sometime between when you were a kid and now, Chuck E. Cheese has turned into less of a fun little playground with pizza and birthday parties and more of a kind of a gladiatorial combat arena. Now, I don't know what started the incident. Could have been a wayward skee ball, but these parents start fighting in Chuck E. Cheese. Now, Chuck E. Cheese has some of the most seasoned and grizzled security guard veterans the arcade world has to offer. So they immediately intervene and they start moving them toward the door. And as one of the moms is about to be pushed outside the front door, she reaches into her gigantic purse and pulls out a gun. Well, the security guard starts wrestling with her for the gun and they spill out onto the sidewalk in front of the store. The gun goes flying. A grandma picks it up and in an attempt to calm everyone down, squeezes off a warning shot into the air. No, this is not a movie. This is happening at Chuck E. Cheese in Brandon, Florida. A man tackles the grandma, and I don't mean he lightly lays her down. This is an NFL linebacker form tackle on grandma. Well, the gun goes flying again. A third woman picks up the gun, points it at people so they back off, and then she throws it through the window of a gray Traverse. I don't know if it was her car and she was trying to get away with it, but then just a few feet away from her, another customer jumps into his Audi and tries to hit one of the people he was fighting with. Four people in front of the Chuck E. Cheese dive out of the way from the kamikaze attack from the Audi. The Audi does not stop in time and crashes into the front of the Chuck E. Cheese. About that time, cops start pulling up. They get the scene sorted out. Two women go to the hospital. A child has to go to the hospital. They're going to be okay. Handful of people arrested. Someone cashed in their tickets for a bouncy ball. And somebody just had a birthday party they will never forget. Hold my beer.
Wait, hold my beer. What?
Hold my beer.
Hold my beer. What?
For our next Florida story, we're going to Jacksonville, Florida. And a lot of stereotypes exist for a reason, because there's some truth in them. So I want you to conjure up just the most base, typical stereotype that pops into your mind when I say the word Chevy Camaro, because now you're thinking of the Chevy Camaro driver. Almost exclusively male, usually younger, and they like to drive ridiculously fast. Although you suspect they've had no real formal training or skills to accompany this dangerous activity. Well, in Jacksonville, the guy that is pictured in your head right now was pulled over for speeding. He pulls over into the side of the road. The cop pulls up behind him in the side of the road, gets out of the car, starts walking toward him. And right before the police officer gets to the driver's side door, he turns the Camaro on and speeds off. Oh, he's got you. You're never going to catch him now. And he makes a right turn, loses control of the car, crashes into a tree, and dies. That's exactly what you thought was going to happen. Hold my beer.
Wait, hold my beer. What?
Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
Stay tuned. Part two of Florida Stories is right around the corner. Subscribe to the Florida Stories podcast and get past episodes at waltersterlingshow.com. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Stories.
All right, 888-688-WALT, 888-688-9258. I'm live in a laundry room. You hear that sound in the background? That is the sound of my dryer. You know what my dryer is doing right now? It's drying off towels. Because today I saw the most terrifying thing you can possibly see as the person renting a house or owning a house, even worse. I open the basement door and I'm looking at the basement floor and I'm like, there's water on that floor. Earlier today, I was at my front door. And my kid said, there's water coming from the ceiling. Water coming from the ceiling and water on the basement floor. Unrelated events. Because you see, the hot water pipe in the basement was leaking. That's where the water in the basement came from. The water from the ceiling in the living room, unsure. Maybe the shower upstairs, except the shower had never been on. So probably a pipe was leaking. But is there anything more terrifying as a homeowner or a renter than seeing random water on the floor in your home? Those are the real issues. The engine light doesn't go off. Water on the floor of the basement. And when you go to sign on your computer, especially if you go to your banking website, you can't remember your password. There is nothing more challenging than trying to re-enter a banking website if you have forgotten the password. Because banking websites, unlike normal websites, they want incredible information. They want the last four digits of your ATM card, the last four digits of your social, the entire bank account number, and the name of your first pet, and your stripper name. They want all of those things to get onto, and it's exhausting. To remember passwords is exhausting. In fact, if I'm honest, and why should I be? I'm a talk show host. If I'm honest, I spend most of my day trying to remember the passwords to websites and to apps. That's how I spend most of my day. Tragic, but true. And you do too, except that I get to admit it. Now, if you go to official talk show host websites, publications, you talk to other official talk show hosts, and you say to them, what was important to them? They'll tell you it was the election of a Speaker of the House. But that's not true. The election of the Speaker of the House has nothing to do with you and me. It has nothing to do with what really matters, which is kids' report card, paying for college, paying for parochial school, paying for backpack, paying for new sneakers, getting the engine light to be turned off, water on the basement floor, water coming through the ceiling in the living room, and I can't remember my password. Those are by far bigger issues. And yet I almost never hear them on the radio, and yet they are bigger issues to talk show hosts. No, really. Whenever I've given a speech to other talk show hosts at conventions and conferences because they think I know something, I always ask them, hey, would you please write down the last thing you talked about with your best friend on the phone? Or the last email you sent to your best friend, what was the subject? And there could be 200 people in that audience. And they always write down my job, my kids, my health, my marriage, my vacation. Never do they write down what happened in Congress today. Ever. That's theoretical. And you and I do not lead a theoretical life. We live an actual life. And in actual life, what matters is kids' report card, my health, that ache in my back, the engine light never goes off, the dryer that doesn't work, the dryer that does work, water on the floor, water on the basement floor, I would say is the lead story in anyone's life. If there's water on the basement floor, that is the lead story, not the opinion page of the New York Times. No one cares about the opinion page of the New York Times. If I wanted to make you go away, I would start to say, well, you know, today I read on the opinion page of the New York Times. You would run. You would run. As does every listener who is still capable of getting up and turning the dial and not having to ask an aide to turn the dial. That's the deal. I get to talk to you about our day, our day. And our day consists of, what'd you watch on TV last night? Last night on TV, I watched the crappiest movie. My current wife got me hooked into the crappiest movie. And then I went and looked at the reviews of this crappy movie, and people took it very seriously. It was horrible. It was called The Menu with Ralph Fiennes. It was horrible. Years ago, there was a great science fiction movie called How to Serve Man. And the joke was, it wasn't about aliens coming down and helping us. It was about aliens coming down and eating us. And then, I don't know, 30 years ago, there was a movie called Delicatessen. And it was all of these whack people living in a scary house with a butcher shop on the ground floor. And every night, some member of the wacky house disappeared and was served up in the butcher shop downstairs. this movie was a combination of How to Serve Man and Delicatessen. And it was horrible. And all the reviews said the comic movie menu, it was horrible. I miss the TV shows of the 90s. Those are the great TV shows, the TV shows of the 90s. Let's review those coming up in just seconds. I'm Walter M. Sterling, and this is Sterling on Sunday.
When you're a manager like Brad, you're often asked to help out with so many things around the store. Chelsea, beautician, 21 years younger than Brad, had aunts in the beauty salon. She thought Brad was a cocky jerk. But as time went on, romance occurred. Chelsea was in a bad marriage, as well as Brad. They took a shine on to each other. In fact, Chelsea's only 2 years older than Brad's daughter. Chelsea says they grew up together. So these two lovebirds divorce their spouses, get married, have a child, and live happily ever after. Cleanup on aisle 5 has never been so intriguing. It seems like 90-day fiancé meets Walmart. So there you go. So if you have a spouse who works at Walmart, don't take that lying down. They can meet their future spouse in an aisle. Could be over ants, it could be over produce, or whatever you're supposed to do with the bananas to signify you're single. For the people of Walmart, this is Vila Hool for Sterling at Night.
All right. Now, you want to hear a great podcast? Because to me, there's nothing more horrible than most podcasts. They're either too long or too pretentious. All the ones out of public radio, you know, we're going to explore now the library system and the Dewey Decimal System. We're going to discover, now they go like this, they go, we're going to discover the Dewey Decimal System and its impact on inner city youth and how it has affected inner city youth, the Dewey Decimal System. Do you realize that most elementary school teachers don't even know how to spell Dewey? They think it was someone who ran for president in the 40s. But it's so different than that. That's how public radio sounds. You want to hear a good podcast? Sean Speaks, S-E-A-N. Not like Sean Cassidy, like a street guy. S-E-A-N, Sean Speaks. Now, Sean happens to be the producer and control board operator of this show. I will never know why people on the radio say, and my board op. How the heck would you know what a board op is? It's a control board operator, a mixing board operator. Now you know what I'm talking about. Not a board op. Well, that's somebody who, like, works on the boardwalk in Atlantic City. What idiot. It's a mixing board operator, and it's hard to do, especially when you work with a talent like me, because I'm not in the same room with him. Doubly difficult. I'm in a laundry room. I'm broadcasting to you from a laundry room. That's not a joke. That's not something cute. It's true. It takes an extraordinary skill to manage a talent show when the talent is in a different city. And that's the situation with Sean. Sean Speaks is the name of his podcast. Sean is a street guy. Sean is a smart street guy. Sean is from the community and shares about his life and his beautiful daughter and how he lives. He's not sharing about the Dewey Decimal System and about the inner workings of the Senate and the secret Senate elevator that brings the most powerful elevator in the world. Oh, my God, this pretentious crap. Now, most people who are on the air and get to work with a great control board operator like Sean never do anything for him. They may be nice and pleasant, and I'll send you something at Christmas, and then they sit around and go, well, you know, that host is really nice. Walter's kind of difficult, but that host is really nice. Okay, fine. So try this out, guys. When was the last time one of those hosts promoted your podcast? Never. But I do. You want to go to Sean Speaks, wherever you get your podcasts. And listen to these terrific podcasts. S-E-A-N, Sean Speaks. Get his podcast at Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your fine podcasts. That's where you want to go. It's clever, it's different, but most importantly, it's like nothing you've ever heard. It isn't this pretentious crap or true crime, you know, the Green River murders in Atlanta that happened 400 years ago and no one cares about, or the parsing of the difference between those awful Democrats or those awful Republicans. Nobody cares about that stuff, and it doesn't change anything. None of those podcasts change anything, and they're endless and dreary and overwrought and over-edited, because there's nothing I want to hear less than an over-edited podcast. I know the second I hear it, if it's a lot of nonsense, you know, it gives the community a great way to learn about podcasts. I don't want you to learn about podcasting. I want you to learn about broadcasting. You know, most of these podcasts have 40 listeners, whereas this radio show on a bad night has 58,000 listeners. What would you choose? Sean Speaks is the podcast you want to hear. S-E-A-N, Speaks. Not like Sean Cassidy, not S-H-A-U-N-N-N-N-N. No, S-E-A-N. You got to hear what our producer and our control board operator, our mixing board operator, has to say about his life. To me, it's fascinating. It's worth the time. And it isn't one of these 400-hour podcasts with 10 parts and 20 episodes. It's nonsense. Coming up, you and I are going to find out more about the founders of these great entertainment companies. We'll hear from Fred Silverman talking about William Paley. Let's think about that. Fred Silverman, the greatest programmer who ever lived, talking about the founder of CBS. And what he has to say about the founder of CBS is astonishing. And worth it. And then I want to share with you my favorite shows of the 90s, because I had to watch a crap TV show last night, terrible movie called Menu, that all the critics said, oh, this is wonderful. Ralph Fiennes did this incredible job, all because they had to hide the fact that although it was well written and well staged and made by Disney, they couldn't admit that they couldn't stand it. I'm Walter M. Sterling. Welcome. This is live. This is Sterling on Sound.
This is Becky Gaffney.
And Dan Gaffney, Tales from Our Old House with Our Eight Kids.
And we're going to tell you about this week, our vacation time, or Dan's vacation, really, because I don't actually get a vacation, but he does. And he took a couple of weeks off over Christmas, which was lovely. He had plenty of time to catch up on social media and all of his phone.
I know where you're going with it.
You know where I'm going.
It's only been 2 years. You've been asking me for 2 years to fix the fence facing our neighbor to the left.
A couple of years ago, we were moving a playhouse in, and we had to come from that yard, so we had to tear the fence down. And it was during the time we were all home during the pandemic. We tore the entire fence out, and it has sat that way for more than 2 years.
As you know, there's a whole list of things to be done around the house, and that somehow got pushed down the list.
And that one has kind of been my priority. So while you were home, I didn't nag you for 2 years. I've mentioned it a few times, but I did not nag you as you were sitting on the couch. But I did mention that I would like to maybe at least try to get
brutal
three panels done, just three little panels of this fence so that we could kind of hide some of the potting soil and pots we have in the backyard.
Yeah, so I go to it. It's not a very hard job, but I start doing it and I realize after I get the two panels built by hand, that
by hand, like, let's make it sound harder than it is.
Well, it is by hand. I didn't buy panels or
okay
made.
Yeah, you nailed it together.
The top of the fence, each picket is at a different level, so it's kind of like not in a straight line. It's going weep wow.
It just kind of droops in the middle a little. It's not that big of a deal. I'm happy that it's there. I
forgot to string a plumb line and line the top of the boards. So now the big debate I'm having is, do I tear off the boards and re-nail them? Or just leave it crooked.
And I'm actually all for leaving it crooked right now, because if you tear it off, we won't have a fence up until you're in retirement.
Plus, the crooked side is facing the neighbor.
Ooh.
We can't really tell on our end.
It's kind of going to bother him, though.
Do we really care?
I don't think we do. I think I'd rather have the little bit of fence that we have, which, by the way, is like 1.5 panels is what we finished. I'd rather have that there than nothing at this point. So maybe just for the next half of the fence, you could string the line and we can leave that little corner crooked. Nobody's really going to see it anyway.
I'm going to fix it, because if not, it'll drive me crazy to my grave.
How long do you think it's going to take to fix it?
2 years?
Maybe till your next vacation.
I'm Walter Sterling. Welcome to Sterling on Sunday. I'm always lost when there isn't like a music bed or a stinger at the end of one of our features. They just end. I have to talk to them about that to give me some sort of audio clue. Because, as you know, I'm clueless. I've got a great website. It's waltersterlingshow.com, and you can find out everything about me and the Florida stories and our podcasts. We have a podcast called Midnight Misfits, M-I-D-N-I-T-E. Midnight is misspelled because we're misfits. All the great executives I have ever known are misfits, the truly great ones. Now, what's happened in the past few years at every industry around the world is, God help you if you have a new idea. God help you if you don't fit into the corporate culture. Goldman Sachs cut out coffee this week. Here's a multi-billion-dollar fund where their CEO and board members make hundreds of million dollars a year, but they can't afford to give their employees coffee. And you know what that's going to do? It's going to waste millions of dollars in man hours, as every one of those employees now has to go to a coffee cart or coffee shop in Manhattan and stand in line and lose 20 to 35 minutes a morning getting their coffee, rather than going in and getting a nice cup of free coffee and quietly thinking, gosh, we work for a good company. God help that. One of the most creative people I've ever known did not fit in at all. His name was Fred Silverman. And Fred programmed all three television networks, ABC, NBC, CBS. Oh, yes, there used to only be three, and that was plenty. And Fred put on shows like Fantasy Island, The Love Boat, All in the Family. He put on those shows. And he was he did not fit in, and he was not liked. The interesting thing about Fred not being liked is I got to know him really well. I had the honor of him coming to my wedding. And you know what? Fred was only a perfectionist and difficult about what went on the air. What went on the air mattered to Fred. Off the air, he was charming, pleasant, resourceful, and helpful. Could not have had a better friend. He worked at CBS for Bill Paley, the founder of CBS. Imagine being the guy who said, you know, I'm going to build a company. I think I'll call it CBS. I mean, imagine reporting to that guy. Well, this is what Fred had to say about Bill Paley.
He was the owner, and he was in charge, and you know, you had to treat him with a good deal of respect, you know, which he just assumed you do. You know, he was very smart. I mean, after all, he built that company, you know, first in radio and then in television, and had very definite opinions about shows. And, you know, he was right, but often he could be very wrong. I mean, he hated All in the Family. You know, he hated the Munsters, and went on to be a big hit. You know, so there are many instances of where he wasn't right. But it was his store, and you really had to listen to him. And I remember once, his favorite show was Gunsmoke. And this was the year that the sales department was determined to get some of the older demographic shows off of the schedule. And the president of the network, who had been head of sales, got up and he took Gunsmoke off of the board. It had been at 8 o'clock Monday night, and just ended up moving Gilligan's Island and another comedy in there. And Paley looked at him and he just said, "Put it back." Didn't have to say another word, and you knew he was out. He was finished. And that guy got fired in about a week. You know, he just got so crazed seeing him take his favorite show off the air, put it back. And that was Palin. And he was involved in all the meetings. And I understand, even after I left CBS, you know, well into the 80s, you know, and then he got very old. You know, fortunately, I didn't see that. He was much more, when I was there, he was very vital, and he was a handful.
Yes, as Fred Silverman was a handful. But what an honor to work for this guy who programmed all three television networks. Imagine those instincts. And he told me a great story. He was the man who put on Fred Silverman was the man who put on Good Morning America. Now get this. He put on Good Morning America, and for the first 2 weeks, Good Morning America with David Hartman was pre-recorded at 3 in the morning. From 3 to 5, they pre-recorded it. And I said, why did you pre-record Good Morning America? He said, I had two talent who had never hosted television before. I had no idea what was going to happen. I said, what about the news and the weather? That was live. But the host parts, they were all pre-recorded for the first 2 weeks so that Fred could see them. He said he used to sit in the control room at the ABC Broadcast Center in his bathrobe and watch the rehearsals of Good Morning America. That, my friend, is a broadcaster. Coming up in seconds, I'm watching these Netflix series and this BritBox crap, and I'm like, where's the real TV? And I'm not being nostalgic. I'm like, where's the real TV? I miss TV from the 90s. And I'll share with you my three favorite shows from the 90s. And the fact is, I'm right. This is Sterling on Sunday.
This is so weird.
Listen to how calm they sound. They're right. A bizarre theft, though. This was a theft attempt in Flagler County. Those two men are waking up in jail this morning after allegedly trying to steal hundreds of gallons of used cooking oil. Now, this is body camera video from the sheriff's office. The two men were allegedly pumping that oil from a local business into a tank inside their truck. All right, so here's the question. Why cooking oil? Well, there's a black market for the stuff because it can be converted into biofuels. Who knew?
So the two Florida men were arrested for stealing 7,000 pounds of used cooking oil from a restaurant. It's worth, on the black market, $5,000. So I guess I'm just throwing money away. I've always been pouring it down my drain. Hold my beer.
Wait, hold my beer.
What? Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
For our next Florida story, we're going to Oakland Park, where 12 years ago, a 31-year-old Florida man who's also a gay film star and a massage therapist on the side, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. His body was found shot execution style with his hands tied behind his back. And police finally tracked down the killer. And it turns out, let's see if we can piece this all together. The killer's boyfriend was getting massages from this guy. And then they would have gay foursomes because another dude would show up. And man, I don't even want to know the details of the story. And this just reminds me that there's a whole world going on that I know nothing about. That really, there's such thing as a gay massage therapist. What do you think the odds of a happy ending in a gay massage session are? 1,000%? Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
Stay tuned. Today's third installment of Florida Stories is right around the corner. Subscribe to the Florida Stories podcast and get past episodes at waltersterlingshow.com. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Stories.
All right. Welcome to Sterling on Sunday. I'm here every week from 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. It is a three-hour show. Live on KMBZ in Kansas City, KMBZ FM. What a spectacular radio station. We're on in Fairbanks, Alaska. We're on WLOB, Lobster Radio in Maine. And, oh my gosh, in Lubbock, Texas. And there's Troy L. Troy L. just sent me the most obtuse, beautiful note I've ever gotten. Thank you, Troy L. These are the Midnight Misfits. Rosemary Furlong, Dee Wells, Neil Paul, Judy Paul, welcome, my Midnight Misfits. And where's Stuart? Hey, Stuart, what happened to you? Stuart, welcome. If you'd like me to say hi to you on the radio, all you have to do is send me a note. waltermsterling@gmail.com, waltermsterling@gmail.com, or go to the website Walter Sterling Show and sign up to be a Midnight Misfit. And there you can download your Midnight Misfit membership card, which has a decoder section where you can decode secret messages that I share with you. It also spells out exactly what you have to do to be a Midnight Misfit, how you don't fit in. And the thing about misfits is mostly we just want to be left alone, and there's nothing wrong with wanting to be left alone.
We listen closely to stories. We give ourselves to others. We respond with emotion and empathy. But as a result, we cannot keep swimming in company indefinitely. At a certain point, we've had enough of conversations that take us away from our own thought processes. Enough of external demands that stop us heeding our inner tremors. Enough of the pressure for superficial cheerfulness that denies the legitimacy of our latent inner melancholy. And enough of robust common sense that flattens our peculiarities and less well-charted appetites.
I love television shows of the 90s. Those were the best TV shows. These are my three favorite TV shows in the 90s. The first one is Married with Children.
And if you had what other men have, I wouldn't need batteries anymore.
Where we really broke ground was the idea that Al didn't necessarily want to have sex with his wife. It was like a job.
11 seasons of Married with Children. Brilliant television. It put Fox on the map. And guess what? The Fox executives hated that show. Barry Diller told me himself that it wasn't really like his fantasy show. Then, the best drama ever was Melrose Place, because Heather Locklear was always furious.
I'm glad to see you preparing for a meeting, but I'd appreciate it if you did it at your own desk. And take that garish piece of glass with you.
This is my desk, Amanda. I'm sorry, the board decided to replace you.
With you? I don't think so.
It's all in this memo. Again, I'm sorry, it's nothing personal, it's more about your illness.
I don't know what you use to pull this off, you dishonest, self-serving, pathetic drunk. But when I find out, I'm going to turn it around, cut you open like a rotten piece of fruit.
Oh, yes. That is the person we want to work for. We would love to go to work every day and have Heather Locklear be furious at us. But the most mysterious show, and the one you didn't understand, was Dawson's Creek. Dawson's Creek, starring Katie Holmes.
You have a girlfriend? I slept with you last night and you have a girlfriend?
This is a very unhappy birthday.
I didn't say that. I said I've been seeing someone.
Seeing someone? What the hell does that mean, Dawson?
I don't know. But the point is, Jerry, I broke up with her the second something happened.
How?
Between us.
How? In your mind?
The first thing this morning. What do you think I want when I left?
I thought you went out for breakfast. I didn't know you were getting up early to go break up with someone else.
Well, would you rather I didn't?
No. I would rather you weren't involved with someone when we finally sleep together.
Jerry, I'm sorry if this ruins the fantasy, but this girl means nothing to me compared to you.
You should have told me.
When? Where?
Before!
Stop!
You want to hear that again, don't you?
You have a girlfriend? I slept with you last night and you have a girlfriend?
This is a very unhappy birthday.
I didn't say that. I said I've been seeing someone.
Seeing someone? What the hell does that mean, Dawson?
I don't know. But the point is, Jerry, I broke up with her the second something happened.
How?
Between us.
How? In your mind?
The first thing this morning. What do you think I want when I left?
I thought you went out for breakfast. I didn't know you were getting up early to go break up with someone else.
Well, would you rather I didn't?
No. I would rather you weren't involved with someone when we finally sleep together.
Joey, I'm sorry if this ruins the fantasy, but this girl means nothing to me compared to you.
Oh, my gosh.
When? Where?
Before!
Stop!
Why didn't Katie Holmes win an Emmy right there for that? Why didn't she win an Emmy? You know, Katie Holmes is really tall. You don't realize that, but she's really tall. Yes, she's cute and pretty, but she's also surprisingly tall. What a brilliant show that was. No one understood it. And the history of Dawson's Creek is amazing because it was the first network television show where every inch of it, every second of it, was sponsored. The outboard motor, the food they ate, every single thing on that show was sponsored. They had to write the scripts to the sponsorships. An amazing story. But who cares about that? It had hot women saying outrageous things. Dawson's Creek. All right. You know what the greatest gift is that you and I can receive? The greatest gift we can receive is a request for help.
And my classroom.
should be as well air-conditioned as your favorite bar.
Next Sunday.
All right. Right. Stay right.